Have you seen that photograph this week of the Rolling Stones?
Nah, I saw there was one photo of all of them together.
Yeah.
And all of them look great, and the drummer looks like your grandfather.
That's what's so funny about it. No, but that's the whole point. He's the only one who actually dresses like a 77-year-old guy. Like, Mick Jagger is in some, like, cool
blouse.
Hip shirt.
They're all wearing a blouse.
A blouse with some necklaces and, like, tight pants that have, like, lacing on it or, like, some cool leather whatever. You know, they have their hair with a color in it. And then there's, I think, Charlie Watts, right?
Charlie Watts is the one.
Yeah, Charlie Watts is the only one who's wearing, like, a sweater from The Gap.
It's not even The Gap. It's like he picked the whole outfit up at the pro shop.
Right.
He looks like the pro shop guy at the golf course. And you go, that's the drummer for Rolling. No, it's not.
No way. Yeah. What's Dress Barn for men? Whatever Dress Barn is for men, that's
shop.
What he was wearing. Oh, okay.
They sell clothes.
Today's man. Yeah.
Yeah. They sell putters, drivers, and clothes. And that's what he put on. But yeah, you look at all the other three, they look like rock stars.
Right. That's why it's hilarious. It's just so funny that one of the Rolling Stones dresses like a normal 70-something-year-old man. Like, not
and
like a rock star.
He's always played drums like a 70-year-old man. He's always played drums like that. If you watch him play drums, he's the 70-year-old guy back there, even with the drumsticks backwards and does it like that, you know, like the guys from the 30s used to do.
Yeah.
He's that guy. But they're the Stones. And
right.
Probably if you see them live, the most amazing live band you'll see.
You've never seen the Stones live?
No. Have you really?
Yep. Mm-hmm, sure have. Yeah. I saw the, I'm guessing it was, I don't know if it was Some Girls. What was after Some Girls?
Around what year?
I was in like junior high school.
Probably Voodoo Lounge.
Maybe. I remember Mick Jagger was in all yellow. He was wearing yellow pants, like a yellow jumpsuit, and he was up on a cherry picker. And they were like maneuvering him around the audience. So at some point, and what was so funny is, you know, we were like in junior high school, and like my babysitter and her boyfriend took me. That's how I went.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, because it was my babysitter and her boyfriend, of course, the tickets they had were the obscure seats, you know, the ones that were like supposedly behind the stage. But they had one of these stages that was wide open, so there was no behind the stage. And then the stage turned. So when the stage turned, suddenly we were in the front row. It was awesome. It was really like, I mean, not like the very front row, but like one, you know, we were on the floor to the back. And then he goes up on a cherry picker and he was like right over our heads. So I didn't have like a big reference to the Rolling Stones yet because I was still super young. And you know me, at the time I was listening to rap music even then. Like, I just had a conversation with my boyfriend about this. Like, for some reason, a little white girl from Brooklyn and then Long Island was really into rap music, like really into rap music and soul. Like, if you came to my house, the only thing I played was Al Green, Earth, Wind and Fire, African Bambaataa, Cool Herc, like all the early, I think I even had the Sugar Hill Gang. Like, I had all that early stuff. I didn't listen to anything that my friends were listening to.
Mm.
And my friends would come over and be like, I was like 12. What are you running here? A sex den? You know,
we're listening to the Doors and you're listening to this.
Right. And I'm listening to like some cool R&B, like, you know, Al Green. I'm sure Al Green, when he was making his music, he wasn't like, some 12-year-old girl in Long Island is going to really love this.
But you had to hate the Rolling Stones.
I didn't really know. I mean, I heard of them. Obviously, they were super famous. I just didn't really know the music very well. But after seeing them in concert, I was really moved by it. I went out and I bought Some Girls because that seemed the most kid friendly, or, you know, whatever, teen, preteen friendly. And it was, you know, I liked it, but after the love of the concert wore off, like, you know how that is, like when you're at the concert, oh my God, this is amazing, I want to buy everything by them. Mm-hmm. And you buy one thing, you listen a couple of times, and you go back to whatever you were listening to. So I think, you know, after that, Earth, Wind and Fire had a new album coming out, and I was like, I'm on it.
So that was a total waste of ticket for you. Somebody that was really into the Stones would have loved it more.
Yeah, I know. My babysitter was really into music, and she was really into getting me into music because she like me was an only child. So I was like her little sister. So she loved the idea of like introducing me to music. She introduced me to all her music, which was like the Grateful Dead and the Who. And that's the stuff that she really liked. But, you know, there I was listening to, you know, 70s R&B and soul.
And that Rolling Stones show.
Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely weird. Like, you know, anytime I had the opportunity to listen to music with my friends, I was more like, have you guys heard Smokey Robinson?
In your
friends, you know, Tower of Power?
No, not really. So that's one band. You saw the Grateful Dead. I never saw the Grateful Dead.
Yeah, again, I saw them a lot because not only did I have the babysitter who took me when I was a kid, but I had a boyfriend who was really into the Grateful Dead, and he was, I look back now, he had a lot of money. So when he had money, you can pay for Grateful Dead shows, you can get a car, follow the Dead. So he paid for us. We'd stay in hotels. I literally went on tour with the Grateful Dead and my boyfriend, not too far. I mean, we just basically did like Philly, Washington, D.C. The furthest we went is we flew out to Denver. And we saw the shows, all the shows in Colorado, in Telluride, Red Rocks, all of that.
Mm-hmm. And to me, that would be the closest thing to hell.
You'd love it. You'd be surprised. It's a real community. And the tailgating part is a big part of it. Like hanging out with friends and see, I had friends that went to Brown, or I went to a different school. So my friends from Brown came out and we were all hanging out. Like we had a really good time. It was fun. It was like a community. You know, it kind of felt like like a Facebook group before Facebook.
See, I was at a Fish show one time, and the whole time I'm going, oh, dear God, kill me.
Yeah.
Freaking kill me.
Not the same thing at all. It's not even close.
It's the same band.
It is not. Do not say that to a Grateful Dead head. Do not say that to a deadhead over the age of 40. Matthews
and Fish. It's the same freaking band.
It is really not. It is so not.
You know, that and Pavement, worst shows of my life.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so out of place in these shows. So being at a Grateful Dead show, because the only thing I think about them is they're stuck on a 45-minute song.
That's the best part.
That's not the best part. That's horrible.
Oh, no. Because they're not on the same song. They kind of riff. It's almost like, I don't know if you've had friends who are musicians. You ever go to a friend's house who's a really good musician and they just jam, and then their friends come over and they just jam? That's the part I hate. It's amazing when you have musicians that are the best of the best and they're just up there jamming together, you know, and they're just, you don't know where the song is going to go. And then suddenly, next thing you know, somebody goes, near, 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 near. And then suddenly it's a song you do know. And they start going in after like this big jam session. And everyone in the place is high or stoned or on mushrooms or something. So it's, they play to their audience. You know, if you are somebody who is into drugs, those Grateful Dead shows were the best places to be because their vibe was on your drug vibe. So it all worked. You never really smoked pot, but if you smoke pot and you get really stoned and you just kind of like mellow out and time stands still, that kind of moment where the Grateful Dead is just jamming is the greatest music. It's fun. It's hard to explain if you've never experienced it. It's not like going to a concert. You know, you're not really
exactly
at a concert.
Like going to a concert without lyrics.
No.
It's the them tuning up part of the concert. I didn't pay to hear you write your next song and jam. It's like the Allman Brothers. I went to see the Allman Brothers. It was a 94-minute version of Whipping Post. Stop it.
Well, that actually sounds pretty amazing. I think I would love
the
that.
The song is really like 7 minutes long. Even that is 5 minutes too long. Stop it. I mean, that's the part I'm not paying you to write.
No, but that's what I mean. So I've been to, I go to like a Jay-Z, J. Cole, I love all the J's. And that's very different. It's a very structured concert, like Lady Gaga, very structured. She had her dancers. She jumped out of a fish. Like she landed on her feet. There was a whole thing that went on, you know? The Grateful Dead is a little more like you're just hanging out with a bunch of friends and somebody picks up a guitar and somebody else picks up drums and you're just, it's more of an experience and you know people there. And if you don't, the person next to you will like hand you a joint or hand you some water or it's, I mean, the Grateful Dead, there's a song where they say strangers stopping strangers just to shake their hand. That's the philosophy. So it
but
doesn't
it took them 3 hours to get to that lyric because they were they were on a jam with trucking that lasted 4 hours.
I'm just telling you, it's an experience as opposed to a concert. It's like hanging out with your favorite friends. You know, you have friends that you have to hang out with because it's business or it's somebody you grew up with. And then you have friends that you just really enjoy your time with them and you could just sit and do nothing all night. That's the Grateful Dead. They're your friends that you can sit with and do nothing all night, but you pay them.
I want to go see the band and then play the hit so I can go, okay, I can go home now.
But the Grateful Dead doesn't have hits. That's the point.
I want Touch of Grey. Get to Touch of Grey because I know that song because it was on MTV. Get to that song and maybe Truckin' because I heard that before. Get to those songs and just be done with it. And I'm in, out, 25 minutes.
Real deadheads hate those songs because that's not why they go. They do not want Touch of Grey. They do not want Truckin'. They want, you know, and the thing is what they'll do is they'll do like a mashup. You know, mashups are a thing now, but they were the first to really do a mashup. No, I'm serious. So you would get two songs together and somebody would say like, I don't know, what are two Grateful Dead songs? Like Friend of the Devil and Scarlet Begonias. So they'll play Scarlet Begonias and they'll go into a jam and then they'll go into Friend of the Devil eventually and then get into it. And people will call it a Scarlet Devil. And that's a thing like, oh, my God, you go to the show. They did a Scarlet Devil. No fucking way. Like, that's a thing that they mashed up two songs.
Play Touch of Grey. Come on. Oh, my God. It's a bass solo. Oh, here we go with a bass solo.
I'm just telling you, it was an experience. It's
why do
I was young.
B.O. I smell B.O. and pot. That's all I smell.
No, you smell pot and patchouli.
Oh, God. And B.O.
No, in the West Coast, not on the East Coast. The East Coast, it was patchouli and pot.
So the minute the lights went out, that was it. Pot started.
No, it starts in the parking lot. That's what I'm telling you.
They bring it in from the parking lot.
Yes. People, it's all about tailgating. If a Grateful Dead show starts at 8, people get there at 3. Well, I'm not even joking.
It's like I spoke to people that say James Taylor, or not James Taylor, Jimmy Buffett. You have to go to a Jimmy Buffett show and tailgate. That sounds horrible to me.
Well, Jimmy Buffett show, they want you to tailgate and drink margaritas and pina coladas and that kind of thing and get drunk. So by the time the show starts, everyone's sleeping. The Grateful Dead is different. People go and they dose. Or they do mushrooms, or they smoke, whatever.
So you have to get high to see this band.
You don't have to, but it makes it more enjoyable if you do.
It's like Pink Floyd. If you go see Pink Floyd and you're not high, there's a problem. They're not good then.
I've gone to Grateful Dead shows sober, and I was like, what the fuck is this?
Oh, dear God, this is the longest version of the song ever.
Terrible.
Even
band.
You were like, play Touch of Grey.
What the hell am I listening to?
That sounds like the worst concert experience ever. And you followed him around and you wanted it.
Well, only because I had the boyfriend that was into it and I was into the boyfriend. So it was like, I would have gone anywhere with him.